Good morning, everyone. It is good to be here in God's house today as we worship together, even though we're apart. This will be the last time that this officially will take place this way, where we're worshiping online only, because next week we'll be able to begin worshiping together. So Father's Day, we will come to our Father's house and worship together. With that said, I want to remind you that we are still working with some restrictions. We're allowed to be 50% capacity, which is not nearly as limiting as being 6 feet apart from everybody. So that's going to be one of the limiting factors. We're going to go every other pew to accommodate that. And so it limits how many we're able to fit in. So seating will be limited and will be directed a little bit. We ask our ushers if they will help to seat you next week when you come. So if you could please come a little early. That would just facilitate things so much better. It won't be as easy to just sneak in late and slip in an open spot because we've got to maintain that distancing. So make your plans to be with us. If you're sick, we're still going to put this online, our service online next week, so you'll be able to worship with us that way. If you're in a vulnerable situation where your immune system is compromised, please feel free to stay home and worship online. We'll continue to do this going forward in the future to accommodate those needs. So I encourage you to make your plans, prayerfully consider what God would have you to do, but we're looking forward to seeing you as soon as possible. One of the things that I'd like to continue to do in these weeks ahead, even though this won't be our only way of worshiping online, if you would do a welcome video, if you would just send a greeting to one another, even if you're going to be here, there are some who aren't going to be here, and they would love to see your face. So you can send a short selfie video to myself or to Steve, and we'll be able to include that in our online service next week as well. So I encourage you to do that. Let's take a moment as we begin to look into God's Word to pray together. Gracious Father, I thank you so much for the privilege you give to us to talk with you. Lord, forgive us for the times when we take that for granted. And remind us just what a special blessing that is. We lift up to you, Lord, the needs and hurts and challenges that we all are facing. You know each one of them. And even better, you are able to make a difference in each situation. And so we ask you, Lord, to please make yourself real in our lives. Allow us to see and experience your presence in very real ways. Because when you are with us, we also have your power, and we need that, Lord. And so we invite you into our lives and ask that you would guide us and provide for us in every way. Lord, as we look to your word today, I ask that your spirit would speak into our minds and into our hearts, that we would hear exactly what you want us to hear, Lord. And that you would use that to change our lives. Lord, we do not want to be complacent. We do not want to be satisfied with good enough when you are offering us so much more. Speak to us through your word. Draw us closer to you. Change us, Lord, to be more like you. And we'll give you the glory and the praise for it always. As we ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. If you have your Bibles, you want to turn with me to Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. We're going to be reading from Joshua and a couple other passages in the New Testament. So keep your Bible handy to follow along with us. As I was working on the sermon for this week, I was reminded of my teenage years. Partially because I'm also remembering and thinking of graduates that this year are facing graduation a little bit differently than what they're used to or what they expected. But I remember when I was a teenager, when I was reaching graduation age, it seemed like everyone asked me the exact same questions in one form or another. They changed it up a little bit. It was all the same. What are you going to study in school? What career do you want to follow? Where do you want to work? All those different things. The list went on and on, but it was all about that same thing. Everyone was interested in my success, or at least how they envisioned success. And, you know, I look back over my life, and I have asked pretty much the same questions to graduates over the years. I've asked them of my own children as well. And I think most fathers do. Alex, if you talk to Alex, he would tell you that I still do sometimes. Often, it's the engineer of the family who is the successful one. It is the doctor who is the successful one. We have in our minds these stereotypes of what success looks like. You have a good job, a steady job. You're able to make a good living and provide for yourself and your family. And I've added to the list, and take care of your parents as they get old. Just saying. That's a good one to keep in mind as successful. We do that all the time. And even as adults, think about it for a moment. What's one of the first questions that you ask someone you first meet? Where do you work? What do you do for a living? And we tend to base judgments on their answers. When it comes to church, too often we follow the same patterns. You're not privy to these conversations a lot, but when pastors get together and greet one another, so many times asking how their church is doing is the first thing that comes up. How many people are attending? How much money is in the bank? That often is the focus of church people as well when they evaluate a church. Because those are the things we think of when we think of success. But if we are building a community of faith in God that lives well, but not by sight, how we view success is extremely important. How can we know if we're living well if we don't know what success is supposed to look like? We want to look into God's Word today to get a handle on how God views success and how we can achieve it. And I want us to start, as I said, in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. So if you have your Bible, look at Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. Because here, God is talking to Joshua, giving him instruction. And he says to Joshua, this book of instruction must not depart from your mouth. You're to meditate on it day and night so that you may carefully observe everything written in it. For then you will prosper and succeed in whatever you do. This verse in Joshua chapter 1, God speaking to Joshua about success, is the essence of the Christian and Missionary Alliance fourth core value. Core value number 4 for us: knowing and obeying God's word is foundational to all true success. Did you hear that? Knowing and obeying God's word is foundational to all true success. This book is God's word for you and for me. It's the foundation of all that we believe to be true. God's Word, the Bible, central to our belief. And saying that to you today may seem extremely obvious to you. And you're probably thinking, well, if that's what this is about, I already got that. This should be a pretty short sermon, right? Yeah, you can just hang on to that hope for a little bit, all right? God spoke with Joshua here, placing him in charge of the nation of Israel after Moses died. And in that talk, God repeatedly told Joshua, you've probably read it before, he told Joshua over and over, be strong and courageous. But as you read through what God was telling Joshua, he wasn't simply speaking of the upcoming battles that they would face as they entered the promised land. In verse 7, the verse right before the one we read, it says, above all, be strong and very courageous. Be strong and very courageous to observe carefully the whole instruction my servant Moses commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you will have success wherever you go. Did you hear that? It requires strength and courage to know and obey God's word. It doesn't come naturally for us. Because it's not easy to stay the course in this world. You have to push against the current of society constantly. It's like walking up a down escalator. But God said to Joshua, and he's saying to you and I, that if you will follow my word, if you will know and obey my word, you will know true success. It'll be hard. You'll have to take strong stands. You'll have to be courageous in going against the flow. But when you do, success. It makes perfect sense then to say that true success in life is inexorably linked to affirming that, like Joshua, as for me and my house, we will worship the Lord. And so God calls us to be strong and courageous, to read and recite His word, to meditate, to memorize what He has said, to observe and obey every commandment, everything that He's instructed you in this book. Read it. Memorize it. Live it. And then, He says, you will have success in everything you do. You will have success everywhere you go. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's go with God. Do you think that's the end of the sermon? Whoa. Hold on a minute. Because while we may agree completely that true success stems from knowing and obeying God's word, and you're thinking that's all we need to know, we need to be clear about one other thing. We need to be clear about how we define true success. Because if we're not thinking about the same thing when we're thinking about true success, well, your success goes this way, and your success goes that way, and my success goes that way. And which is real? Which is true success in God's eyes? Because we know the reality of the world. Because we know that in our lives, knowing and obeying God's word, doesn't always seem like true success. Well, I obey God's word, and I just lost my job. How's that success? Or, I do my best to follow the Bible, but my life has not turned out the way I dreamed it would be. How is that success? Or, I've carefully taught my children God's word, but they aren't living that way right now. How is that success? You see, how you define success makes a big difference. Otherwise, we would have to say, and honestly, I've heard people say, well, God lied about that when he promised success to those who obey his word. Because I obeyed his word, and I don't feel successful. For the definition of the success that Jesus is talking about, the only place we can go is to his word. Just like knowing and obeying his word leads to success, knowing and obeying his word defines what success is to God. What does it mean when he says true success? What we find here as we look to God's word is that the greatest among us, the most successful in God's eyes, will be the ones who serve others. In Matthew chapter 23 and verse 11 and 12, Jesus said it here and more than once, more than just here. But in Matthew 23, he was teaching to the crowd and he was denouncing the Pharisees' attitudes and actions. And he said, listen, the greatest among you will be your servant. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Sounds like Jesus is defining what success looks like. The greatest among you will be your servant. In Luke chapter 9, he addressed his disciples who were at this moment arguing over who was the greatest among the 12. They had those discussions. Well, I'm better. No, I'm better. I'm going to be the greatest. No, yeah, just you never think of the disciples trash talking, but I think they were arguing about this, and Jesus heard them. And he gathered and said, whoa, 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 wait. And he grabbed a child thereby and sat them there, sat the child in the midst of them and said this in Luke 9:48. Whoever welcomes, whoever receives this little child in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes him who sent me. For whoever is least among you, that will be the greatest. That's the one that's great. The one who receives, the one who welcomes and cares for a child, which in that society was like, children aren't worth anything until they can grow up and take care of their parents. The servant of the least will be the greatest. Later in Luke, in chapter 22, the same argument broke out again among the disciples. See, I'm not the only one that's a slow learner. They were arguing about the very same thing, which one of them was going to be the greatest. And this time, while they did it while they were sitting at the Last Supper. And in Luke 22, Jesus said to them, listen, people, the kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who have authority over them have themselves called benefactors. It is not to be like that among you, my followers, not to be like that. On the contrary, whoever is greatest among you should become like the youngest. And whoever leads should become like the one who is serving. John wrote about it in his gospel, about the same incident at the Last Supper. In chapter 13, in his account of it, Jesus gave them an object lesson as well to be sure that they got it. Pay attention, disciples, he said. He got up from the table, grabbed a basin and a towel, and he washed their feet. Their master, their Lord, took on the form of a servant to wash the disciples' feet. And it says in chapter 13, starting at verse 12, after Jesus had washed their feet and put his outer clothing back on, he reclined again at the table and he said to them, do you know what I've done for you? I mean, they were kind of shocked by it. But Jesus wanted to make sure that they understood exactly what he wanted to show them. He said, you call me teacher and Lord, and you are speaking rightly, since that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you this example, that you also should do just as I have done for you. Then listen how he described success. Truly I tell you, a servant is not greater than his master, and a messenger is not greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. So how do we define true success? How did Jesus define true success? Do you see who Jesus considered to be the greatest among us? The most successful in his eyes? It will be the one who is actively serving others. God promised success to Joshua if he would follow God's word, if he would know and obey his word. And if you look at Joshua's life, you see that he was God's servant leader for Israel. Joshua led the people not so that he could accumulate wealth and power. He led the people not so he could be the one that everyone looked up to and said, oh, our hero. Joshua led the people in order to serve the people. They had a task before them, and they needed someone to lead the way, but it was for them. He carefully pointed out, often in the book of Joshua, that they didn't win battles because Joshua was leading them. They won battles because God was fighting for them. Joshua was just leading them to know and obey God's direction, God's word. He and all the people of Israel were victorious and successful only because they were servants of God who obeyed God's word. Likewise, when you and I obey God's word, he will lead us to true success. But understand that that success will be a life of service. Serving others, serving the least of these. That's what God considers great success. And so I need to see the opportunities that I have to serve people. Not as demeaning, like, oh, I have to go and do this. I need to see them as God sees them. An opportunity for true success. You see, the world views servants as less than people. People less than able. Well, they're serving because they can't do anything else. People as less competent. The world sees servants as less than someone more skillful. Less than someone more intelligent. The world views servants as less than someone more successful. Their view is that when you reach a level of success, then you don't have to serve anybody anymore. People will serve you. And that's not how Jesus described it. Don't lose sight of this in your life. Don't get caught up in the prejudice of this world that sees servants as less than people. Instead, value servants around you. Recognize they're doing a great thing. They are living God's success story. And then place worth in the ways that God can use you to serve others as well. Be intentional. Look for the opportunities to serve. Because when you are serving others, you are serving God. When you are serving others, you're obeying His word. And that is both the definition of true success and what leads to true success. Knowing and obeying God's word is fundamental to all true success. And obeying God's word will always lead you to be a servant. A servant of God and a servant of others. That's exactly how Jesus described it when he said, "Inasmuch as you've done it unto the least of these brothers of mine, you've done it for me," Jesus said. And so it's self-evaluation time. Take a look at your life. What percentage of your time and resources is focused on serving someone else other than yourself? Take a little bit. I mean, you're not going to be able to pull this off the top of your head. Take a look. What percentage of your time, what percentage of your resources are focused on serving someone other than yourself? I don't know the answer to that. You may look at this evaluation and come out saying, "Whoa, I'm doing great here." You may come away from the evaluation saying, "I could do better." Ask God to lead you by His Spirit to His Word to show you what service He intends for you to be involved with. Because service is not driven by guilt. I mean, it can be, but it's not supposed to be. Service is not supposed to be driven by guilt. It's to be driven by God's guidance through His Word, by His Spirit. What does God want me to do? When you face your life looking for those opportunities every day, when that becomes the focus of what you see as success, then you are lining your life up with how God sees success. So be intentional. Look for the opportunities to serve. And then do it. In that way, be a success. Be the greatest servant. Let's pray. Lord, I thank You so much for the truth of Your Word. It goes against what our culture says is the way it's supposed to work. It goes against what the sin nature in each of us says it's supposed to be. But it is exactly what Your Word describes for us. And so, Lord, would You please draw us deeper into our knowledge and obedience of Your Word. So that like Joshua, we will say loudly, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Help us, Lord, to be intentional in those decisions. Guide us each day that we'll be able to see the path that leads us the way you want us to go. Provide for us, by your Spirit, Lord, the strength and the courage to obey. And Lord, we'll give you the praise as we see how you accomplish in us exactly what you intend for us. That you would make each of us, Lord, a true success. Because by following your word, we are serving you and serving others. So we ask it all now in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen.